That's fine. Hey, you know what? Welcome to the Retro Breakdown.
We're breaking down today.
We're breaking down. My computer fan is apparently breaking down. So if you hear buzzing or weird audio, it's because I've had to extra clean background sound out of the audio to eliminate the sound of my computer cooling fan going off its bearings and buzzing, I guess. It's not doing it right now, but I trust me, it will be before we're done here. I would like to start off this week by saying I am still playing Mario plus Rabbids Sparks of Hope, and it's still good, but God, I cannot commit to playing that game for more than like 2 or 3 hours at a time.
Why? What holds you back from...
I don't know. It isn't anything in particular. Like, I still want to play it, and I still make time for it, and I'm like, oh yeah, I want to, like, anytime I have some free time, I want to sit down and play it more. And then I play it for, like, 90 minutes, and I'm like, all right, I'm bored now.
Dang.
And I want to do something else. But it's never, like, usually when a game does that, it's the precursor to me dropping it for, like, a year and then coming back to finish it later.
Sure.
And
it's not that.
It's not that, because I end up wanting to come back and like, play it again, like, the next day. But it's, like, every time I get really excited to play it, I'll play it for a little while, and it's just, like... It's fun, but I think, like, I don't know if it's because it's, like, too easy, so I'm not really feeling,
not
like,
engaged.
Super engaged with it.
Yeah.
Or what it is, but I keep loading it up and playing it, and I have fun while I'm playing. It's not like I'm bored. It's just, like, there is something in me where, like, after I've done it for a certain amount of time, maybe it's just because it's a little repetitive.
Yeah, I mean, it's and you don't care about the story.
I mean, I'm not skipping all of the story, but there are certain bits that I've come to recognize are just like, oh, press A to observe something in the environment, which is ostensibly there for lore, but really it's just there for like some wisecrack gag.
Yeah.
Like someone is going to say something sarcastic that they think is funny, and I'm just going to stare at it stone-faced and move on. So that I've sort of moved past. Like the bits aren't bad. It's not like it's not cringe level. It's just like it's like the level of it feels like watching Shrek 1.
I was gonna say, I mean, it's just a Minions type of a deal.
Yeah.
It's not that they're not. I mean, sometimes they are funny. Like sometimes they'll hit you and you're like, crap, I laughed at that.
Yeah, like once in a while it's like, yeah, that's pretty funny. But most of the time it's just like, you know what I mean? I didn't watch it and won't watch it because why would you watch it? But I picture it being like the type of humor you would expect from like a Minions movie. Or not, sorry, you just said Minions. From the Emoji Movie.
Okay, yeah, I never saw that.
I didn't either, but I saw clips of it and I'm like, yeah, that's about right.
Yeah.
Where it's like, it's trying to do like meme-y humor. But it's meme-y humor from people who are, like, too old to be doing it and only understand it on, like, a cursory level.
Yep. The best kind of meme. The old person meme.
It's like, we're in this, like, abandoned ice castle, right? And there's statues of, like, the prince and princess or, like, the heirs of to the throne or whatever. And they're in, and you're... None of your actual characters talk. They just, like, they don't have, like, actual lines, spoken lines.
Right.
They will have, you know, the Mario gang has Charles Martinet doing, like, ooh! You know, like, the reaction sound effects.
the Mario voices.
Yeah,
exactly. That is Mario talking.
Every once in a while, like... Mario will shoot someone to death and then go, oh, yeah.
Right, exactly.
And, like, the rabid characters basically have, like, they have lines as well, but they're all just, like, they're all very just affected lines. Like, the rabid Peach is just, like, the Valley Girl.
Mm.
Where she's just, like...
Yep.
like, ugh, whatever. Like when you ask her to do something.
Yeah, the rabid versions of the characters were my least favorite part of the first game, I think.
Yeah.
Like, move-wise, they were got
characters saying things out loud, starting with the word hashtag.
I mean, that's super funny, dude.
Oh. And you're looking at these statues, and your wisecrack companion is like, ah, yes, this is the princess, whatever the hell her name was, who went off to this other area whose name the name of the area that I'm in right now, I literally don't remember what it's called. It's like Palette Prime or something like that. It's basically fall themed. Okay. It's very colorful. It's very like orange, yellow, autumn, falling leaves, pretty trees.
Oh, that sounds nice, yeah.
And they're like, oh, she went out there and exiled herself after tasting her first pumpkin spice latte. I'm like, really? We're punching down at pumpkin spice lattes now? We're saying that the rabid princess is like a basic white girl who like just can't stop drinking pumpkin spice lattes in the fall planet.
And
that's the joke.
That's why she exiled herself?
Yes. The exile part is the joke. Like, she exiled herself after tasting a pumpkin spice latte. It's like, oh, I'm just going to stay here and drink pumpkin spice lattes all the time.
Yeah, that just seems weird because it could be taken like she felt so guilty for taking one that she exiled herself.
Yeah.
Either way, it's not good.
It's just like, okay. Like, in every case, it's like the joke's not really landing, but I know what they're going for. And I'm like, that's fine. Like, I'm not upset by this, but I mean,
I don't know why people, why it's fun to hate on that in general, like that type of humor. Like, oh man, people really like pumpkin spice lattes. It must be stupid.
I know.
Like, and I realized that I fell prey to that as a, like I've talked about that before, where people loved Bioshock. So I was like, man, Bioshock's stupid.
Although oh, yeah,
I still
no.
have a lot of problems with the story there and things, but that's a different conversation.
I had a very direct and specific experience with it where I worked at Starbucks.
Oh, yeah, there you go.
During the fall season and saw this massive influx of, like, women of a certain image and age group coming in and specifically ordering pumpkin spice lattes.
Yeah.
So like, I see where the stereotype comes from. And sure, after like the 15th one in a row, it gets a little bit annoying, but like, enjoy things. It's like the drink doesn't taste bad.
Yeah, it's actually pretty good. I don't know. I had it. I've had it before, you know?
I've had the pumpkin spice flavoring. I haven't, like, I don't like coffee, so I haven't had it as, like, a...
Well, yeah, then it would be terrible.
Like, as an actual latte, but, like, sure. I know that the pumpkin spice... I've had, like, a pumpkin spice hot chocolate.
Oh, yeah.
Using the same ingredients, and which, by the way, is essentially the exact same recipe, except you just don't add the espresso.
Yeah, that makes sense. Sure. Yeah, that checks out.
I'm just saying, I've seen it, right? I've been there. I get it. Let people enjoy things. Just let people enjoy things. It's fine. But it's that kind of like, it's that kind of humor where it's like, let's find something that we can meme on and just kind of punch. It's a lot of like punching down. It's a lot of like, hey, I mean, this character kind of looks stupid. Let's make fun of what a loser they are.
Yeah, that is 100% the humor that I would have guessed is that game. I feel like they did it in the first one too. I don't remember any of it.
Yeah, I don't really either, to be honest.
Nothing. I don't have a clue. Like I remember
and I
some
think
of the
that,
stages.
Like, one thing that I've played several Rabbids games. And they all do have, like, a little bit of irreverent, like, ah, look how stupid this is. But the thing is, like, usually it's these sort of, like, subhuman rabid characters whose entire thing is, like, ridiculous slapstick humor, right? Sure. And like doing like almost Jackass style stunts.
Yeah, it's like the Three Stooges meets Jackass.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
As a cartoon.
So a lot of the humor is punching down at them being like, look at this dumb shit that they're doing. Yeah. Which like, yeah, that's pretty dumb shit. Yeah, like you see it and you're like, yeah, checks out. They are, you know, that's what they are. They're just slapstick humor vehicles. Where like if you see them just hitting each other back and forth with a giant mallet, it's like, yeah, checks out. Right?
Yeah.
But now it's like they're actually humanizing the characters and giving them like backstory and lore. You look
that's
at like
so weird.
You look at like paintings and murals of them like of them growing up and like things that they did in their past where it's like, oh yeah, like the first area you're in, it's like, oh yeah, the guardian of this area is this big screw up, and like the only accolade that he ever had growing up is taking like 10th place in a sausage eating contest. And it's okay, like, okay. Oh, that's kind of sad. Maybe someone should have supported him.
Maybe you should praise that he got 10th place, okay?
Maybe, like, yeah, like...
Maybe he could have gotten first if he had a friend.
So it just feels bad because they're giving them actual character and humanizing them.
Yeah, and but giving then you're, them, like, then you're unique, supposed to be laughing at them, too.
Yeah, unique traits. And, like, they're clearly depicted as sort of, like, trying their best.
Right. And we're still supposed to laugh at them.
And then the humor's just like, wow, look at how much they suck.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's
you're just laughing at people for just being who they are.
Yeah. And then you're like,
oh, well, it was kind of funny when they were some weird alien rabid thing that was not didn't have normal traits of people.
Yeah, and who's old, just the only thing that they actually said was just like bleh!
Right, and so now you're making fun of just normal people living their life, and you're like, great.
Yeah. And you're punching down at them in the exact same way.
Right.
Doesn't land the same for me. It just doesn't.
Yeah, I can see that. I mean, to be honest, the only reason to play this video game is for none of that.
Yeah. Yeah.
At least for me. The only reason I would ever want to play it is because the gameplay is rad.
The mechanics continue to be great. I am on the hardest difficulty and am not being challenged at all. Yeah, which is a little disappointing. But I mean,
yeah, it kind of makes it doesn't surprise me, I guess, is what I would say to that.
I mean, it's considering the type of stuff that I've been playing where I am
that's true, too.
Like recently, I am seeking out challenge for challenge's sake to an almost unfair degree. Like a game that is just like mainstream difficult is what that should feel like. I'm just not used to it.
You don't, because like you don't even really think of, you know, Dark Souls games as like a challenge in a way, unless you're purposely making them a challenge, like trying to go through it.
I mean, yeah, I literally was like, hey, let's. I'm finding games that are like renowned for their difficulty and being like, how can I make this harder?
Right, and without even doing any research to make it easier for yourself, like, oh, okay, if I do this, then this, I can go here. You're still trying to play it blind.
Yeah.
Even
though you're... Just brute force it.
Right. So I think that Mario and Rabbids not being a challenge for you is far from... it's far from surprising.
Yeah, no, it really...
It's
I'm willing to accept that this is more of a me thing than a game thing. The game itself, I cannot stress this enough, is still fun. Mechanically, it is vastly, it's changed up and vastly improved from the original.
Yeah.
Because as I recall, the original had a more strictly, like, grid-based system.
Yeah, that's what we had talked about. You said that it's kind of open, you can run around, and there's more freedom to do movements and stuff just with how the game is built. So it sounds like the gameplay is good.
Yeah, the game is built upon that idea... extremely well. And they've introduced Rabid Rosalina,
who I saw that in the trailer, I want to say.
Don't think was in the original game. And her weapon is great because it is actually like a machine gun.
Oh.
And the reason that is important is because it breaks cover.
like destroys that things you can hide behind?
Yes. Because the cover objects can only, like, they absorb a couple of hits, but they don't want you just, like, they don't want you just camping out behind the same piece of cover for the entire round.
Sure.
So they make it so that it can take damage and break over time if the enemies just, like, shoot at it and break it down. The opponents can also do that. So,
but you didn't have an option prior to this character to break it down, like, easily? I'm guessing.
I mean, you still can. Essentially, they can take a certain amount of hits.
Okay. So the machine gun just does a bunch of hits at once, so it makes it
exactly
easier.
So it can actually essentially shoot through cover, because the cover will absorb the first two or three hits, but she's firing like 12.
Yeah.
Whereas, awesome. Like, most other enemies are shooting, or most other characters are shooting like 1 to 3.
So yeah, you can do it in one turn as opposed to multiple.
Exactly. You can break the cover and still do damage. And then the cover is broken for all the rest of the characters, which is super useful because all of the characters, you can use all of your characters' moves in any order. So you can have her go out and break the cover first and then use your other two characters to do whatever they need to do once the cover is broken down. There's just a lot of freedom and creativity that you can use mechanically.
Yeah,
it's just, it gives you so much power that it makes it, like, once you get a couple of good strategies figured out,
the game becomes sort of a cakewalk, because you can just
just kind of skate. Yeah. But that's not a bad thing. It feels really good. Just really little stuff. Like, you can put Luigi on, like, the sort of, like, sniper Overwatch, where he does reaction shots to anything that moves within his range.
Right.
But then you can set him on that, and then you can go and do the dashing attack, which actually pops people up in the air, and he'll react shoot on that.
Oh, that's nice.
So you can do that. Like, I did a fun thing. There's status effects as well. The water splash effect makes it so that anyone who's afflicted with splash will actually... anytime they get hit with any sort of damage, they bounce. They actually, like, move and bounce and take additional damage, so you can, like, bump them out of bounds or something.
Right.
So I literally had Luigi waiting on his sniper shot with, like, an electric-infused shot, and I used I used the splash effect on the dash ability. And so I dashed them, popped them up in the air like I was calling pull on like a clay trap like shooting.
Like a shot put thing.
Yeah. And he bounces up in the air, and then Luigi shoots him in midair, and they just, like, sit there suspended above the stage doing the, like, electrocution animation. It's like you just, like, work stuff like that together all the time, and it feels so natural and easy to put together, and it feels great. You feel really powerful. It's just, like,
almost
too powerful. In all but a couple of stages, you kind of just rip through everybody.
Sure.
Now, granted, I've also been doing all of the side quests and stuff, so I'm slightly overleveled. I'm sure that has a lot to do with it as well. But in stages where I go in and I'm underleveled, I still blow everybody away. So I don't think it matters that much.
Yeah,
but it's still fun.
I think it just goes back to, it's not a game you're playing for a challenge. It's a game you're playing just for, you know, just to kill some time, have some fun, feel cool in the battlefield, link some ideas up. See Mario shooting stuff, I suppose.
Mm-hmm.
the classic, you know, I never thought we'd see Mario with a gun moment.
Yeah, except for Yoshi Safari.
Oh, yeah, true. And actually, the implication of that is even more fucked up.
It's way worse, actually.
It's actually so much more messed up. I forgot about that. Yeah, true.
Anyhow, what's your week like? That's pretty much what I'm doing this week.
I mean, to be honest, nothing exciting. I played through some Sonic games, which I'm sure we'll talk about when we decide to play Sonic CD.
Yep.
But I finished Sonic Colors. and I don't have anything to say about it.
Cool.
Nothing
to
talk about.
That sounds about right.
I have nothing to say about Sonic at the moment.
That's fine. You know what? We talked a lot over Discord about Sonic, and I think those are all thoughts that are best left.
Oh, I'm sure they'll come back up if we play Sonic CD.
Not left unsaid, but left for the podcast where they're more relevant. And yeah, also, maybe left until they're a little colder.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, you know, just chilling. It's just Sonic. Just Sonic things. Everyone knows. Even the people that don't know, know.
Well, they're going to know. If we end up doing Sonic CD next week or possibly the week after, depending on time, they'll know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They'll definitely know. Yeah. Cool, then. Do you want to take a question?
I do. I really do.
Excellent. Well, we'll cue the music and jump right into it. Swoggles would like to know, for you personally, what is your favorite game for the following three seasons? For the following three series?
Oh, okay. I was like, seasons? That's a wild question.
That's actually a really good question that we should answer at another time, but not this time. Like the best, like, seasonally appropriate game for each. Damn, that'd be really good.
Or, like, times of the year where you feel like playing something, or maybe certain emotions that spark certain kinds of games.
Yeah, that's where
I was going with that. But anyways, yeah.
Yeah, that's a fun question. That's not this question. The favorite game for these three series.
Okay.
Number one, favorite Zelda game.
Majora's Mask.
That's a good pick. That's an underrated pick.
It's Majora's Mask, or then I would put all three of the Game Boy Color games. I suppose Link's Awakening's not a Game Boy Color game technically, but
the DX
three Game
one
Boy,
is.
Huh?
The DX one is.
The DX one is. That is the one I like the best because I had the little camera or the printer thing. I remember printing out my Game Boy camera.
Of course, you had the Game Boy camera and printer.
Yeah, duh. So and
that's
you could print
the
out
most you thing.
And I used it. I printed out the Link's Awakening little picture snapshots.
I'm sure you're well familiar with the what are you running from creepypasta?
No, I have, you know, it's funny you say that. I have never read a creepypasta in my life.
No. Like, okay, I haven't either. I am literally just talking about using the run command and the Game Boy camera is like, what are you running from?
No, I actually don't know that.
Oh my god, it's the most unnecessarily creepy thing.
I'm looking it up right now.
Just Game Boy camera, what are you running for?
Oh yeah, there's a creepypasta wiki. Okay. Who are you running from?
Just Game Boy camera run.
Wait, so why was this in here? I know I never did this before.
It's like
what the heck? That's so weird. Yeah, so you select the run command, and then randomly you'll get faces, and randomly you'll get other stuff.
Huh.
Nintendo really, you know, I don't know. I don't know what to say about that. Oh, apparently it's going to chill my blood.
I mean, listen, it spooked me out pretty bad when I was like 10.
I realize that sentence is not for me. It just made me smile, especially because the picture that's associated with it just looks like someone trying to do a bad version of a Kiss band member. Like, it's not scary at all. It's fucking hilarious looking.
Well, I have discussed this in the past.
Okay.
Right? In which one of my, like, everyone's got, like, a couple of, like, really, really highly specific irrational fears.
Sure.
Like, it's just like, there's just, when this happens, it's just like, I get like a full body chill and like my blood runs cold and it's an unpleasant feeling. Mm-hmm. And for me, that thing more than anything else is like technology that I don't expect to be like, technology reacting or responding to me in a way that I don't think it's supposed to.
Oh, no, I get that completely.
So, like, going into the Game Boy camera function and selecting run, which I recognized as just like a standard function.
Yeah.
And then it being like, who are you running from, was like the most threatening thing I'd ever seen.
No, if I had done it that way, it would have been way spookier. Absolutely. I just meant seeing the headline and then seeing what I'm running from was funny. But in the moment, it would have been very uncomfortable for
like
sure.
When you're not expecting it.
Yeah.
And you're just like, hey, what does this do? And then your Game Boy camera fucking threatens you?
Yeah.
I'm not okay. I'm not okay with that.
Thanks, Nintendo.
Anyway, we're Game Boy camera, Game Boy Color Zeldas. Best favorite Zelda game. My favorite Zelda game is easily Link to the Past.
Oh, yeah. That would have been my guess for you.
I mean, I have played it probably, thanks to the randomizer, I played it through probably 100 times. Compared to like less than 5 for any other individual one.
Yeah, I mean, to be fair, I haven't played Majora's Mask the most. I just like it the best.
That's totally fair.
Some of the coolest. I don't know what it is about it. That game just really, it just hits right for me.
I didn't like Majora's Mask as much when I played it at first,
mm-hmm.
but I did play it a lot and I spent a lot of time in it. And in retrospect, I have a lot of respect for it, sort of for breaking outside of the bounds of what the typical Zelda game actually was at the time.
Yeah, I mean, because that game's so different.
It's like, especially afterwards, seeing how like Twilight Princess and Skyward Sword essentially, and even to some degree Wind Waker, essentially follow the same pattern of like Hero Awakens. Hero collects 3 MacGuffin orbs or jewels of some kind. Gets Master Sword. Does more dungeons to get more things. To get other things that you need to open the big dungeon where the Ganon is.
Yeah.
Like they all follow this same established progression. With a lot of like recurring items and a lot of familiar puzzles, and it's not that they're bad, it's just it was such a consistent formula that looking back and seeing Majora's Mask in the middle of it, which completely does not do any of that at all.
No, in fact, it's a very unfriendly game for most people to play.
Yeah. It's an extremely unconventional formula. And while it isn't my favorite, I have so much respect for it. Like looking back on it historically for being one of the only games that really, really stepped outside of that formula and had success doing it.
Yeah.
A Link to the Past, like I've played it the most. I know it the best. I played the randomizer to death. Like I said, I played it probably over 100 times because it's just still fun,
mm-hmm.
especially with the randomizer. And I don't think I've played any other game in the Zelda franchise more than like 3 times, including Ocarina. Ocarina, maybe I've played like 4 or 5 times.
Yeah. I don't know which one. I wonder which one I've played the most. I really don't know. It might actually be Ocarina of Time, but next series.
Mario.
Favorite single Mario game. It's probably Odyssey. I really, really loved that game a lot, but it would be hard for me to not.
I have my first instinct was to say the exact same thing. But here's the thing. I played Mario Odyssey once. It was like 5 years ago. I didn't do everything in it, and I haven't looked at it since.
Yeah, I understand that too. Like I collected all the moons, but I doubt I'll ever play Mario Odyssey ever again.
World and 64, I'm pretty happy to just pick up and go back to at almost any time.
Yeah, over Christmas, I played through World casually just for fun because I had my Switch there and I had the Super Nintendo controller. And I was like, you know what? I feel like playing Super Nintendo.
So I think that Odyssey is, to me, the best game, but I don't know if it is necessarily my favorite, mm-hmm. which is a weird distinction to draw. But I think 64 might actually be my favorite.
I mean, if we're talking about
favorites, it would, I would probably have to say it might even be like Mario RPG or Paper Mario.
Ooh,
or something like that.
That's interesting, actually.
I would go to Mario RPG or Paper Mario if I'm thinking.
I wasn't thinking about like
favorite.
The spin-off games, but that's actually a fair point.
I think
can
I would
my
go
favorite
there.
Zelda game be Hyrule Warriors?
Yeah, sure, why not?
It's not, but that's it's a similarly interesting offshoot.
It's primarily a Zelda game.
It is. Okay, 3 is slightly more off the beaten path, but okay. But not still pretty it's Mega Man.
Mega Man, we. Yeah, I don't really care about Mega Man at all.
That's fair.
I played through Mega Man 2 and Mega Man Legends
okay,
for the podcast.
Yeah, we did play that for the podcast. That was very good.
And I played like half of Mega Man X. It's such a weird series for me because I love the idea of Mega Man. I love the music of Mega Man. I mm-hmm. like playing Mega Man for like 15 minutes and then I don't want to play it anymore.
Yeah, no, I understand.
So what I'm most excited about is
Mega Man is a winning series. Like, it's a winning formula.
Yeah.
But like, it's also it's such a basic formula that it doesn't really like, unless you're the type of person who likes to really like polish and perfect your gameplay. And just mess around and do that over and over, it doesn't really have a whole lot of lasting appeal. Now, yeah, there are a lot of people who do like to do that, so it does have lasting appeal for a lot of people, but from what I know of you, you're definitely not that person.
No, and I'm not even like a huge side-scrolling platformer dude.
Yeah. I am, and I don't even like really, really mark out for Mega Man. Like, I like it, but it's not, like, if you were to ask me which game like that I would want to play, I wouldn't pick a Mega Man game. I'd probably pick like Shovel Knight.
Yeah, it's weird because I have like a strange nostalgia for Mega Man, probably just because he's been like I've known of him for most of my life and I've played them and he's always been around, but I feel like I should really like Mega Man, but then I feel guilty because guilty is way too strong of a word.
No, but I know what you mean.
But then it's like, well, I've never really played these games. Who am I to like Mega Man? It's like, well, screw you. I don't have to like, talking to myself, that I don't have to play the games to enjoy the character. So it's weird that I don't know. What I'm really...
I wore a Sailor Moon shirt around yesterday, and I've never watched Sailor Moon.
You've only watched clips.
But I respect the hell out of Sailor Moon.
I'm really excited to play Battle Network at some point.
Oh, yeah, me too.
Because I know the collection's coming out, so then I'll have an excuse to, you know,
play those for the first time
and play it. It's wild because the collection almost has too many like RPGs and as such a reasonable cost. So it's like, holy crap! If I buy this video game, am I committing to 300 hours of Mega Man RPGs?
I know exactly what you mean. I know exactly what you mean.
It's weird to say that a game has too much value. It's like intimidating to play it.
I absolutely get it. This is the most basic bitch answer I could possibly give, but Mega Man X is my favorite.
Yeah, I mean, it's a good game.
All of the music is good. It has really smooth mechanics. I've played X2 and X3. I was looking at my shelf yesterday and realized that I have X4 and didn't even realize that.
Actually, you know what Mega Man game I played the most? Was Mega Man 8 on PlayStation. That game was really cool. I liked that game a lot. I forgot about that. I don't know why I didn't think of it.
Or yeah. X8?
No, 8. 8.
I thought that was on SNES.
No, Mega Man 8's a PlayStation game.
Oh, no, I'm thinking of 7. 7's on SNES.
Mega Man 8, I want to say it was like the first PlayStation Mega Man? I could be wrong about that. I don't know. But I know it came out in like 96, 97 era, maybe 98.
Oh yeah, no, you're right. Yeah. I don't think I've even hardly ever even seen this.
Mega Man 8 looks awesome. It has a really cool, you know, possible with the CD art style.
Yeah.
I liked Mega Man. I forgot about
that one. That's fun.
I would say Mega Man 8 is probably my favorite Mega Man. Although it's the only thing I remember is the clown stage.
I'm looking at the Clown Man stage now.
Yeah, Clown Man is the one that that's the only person that I remember from Mega Man 8.
That sure is a thing.
Maybe we should play Mega Man 8 someday.
Maybe we should play Mega Man 8 someday.
Oh, Mega Man 8 was on Saturn. I didn't know that. That makes sense.
Yo, that should be. That's the version we should play.
Jesus.
Honestly. I'm still looking for a good Saturn game.
I feel like we had one, but...
Guardian Heroes is pretty good. I just didn't like it. I just had, like, way too hard of a time.
Oh, no. I meant another one that we were thinking about playing. Yeah, I remembered we played Guardian Heroes, and that was... I mean, it was fine.
I think I want to play Burning Rangers, but I don't know if I want to play Burning Rangers or if I just want to listen to Burning Rangers.
Hey, you know,
because that song actually, is incredible.
I feel that way about another game, and that's Mario Golf.
Yeah, Mario Golf's all right.
Feeling okay?
Yeah, I'm all right. You have now played Mario Golf. More recently than I have.
Yeah.
How'd you feel? Excuse me. How'd you feel?
That's how I feel about Mario. Ah! That's exactly how I feel about Mario. That was perfect. I really loved Mario Golf when it came out. I loved playing the 64 one. I loved playing the Game Boy Color one. I played it yesterday, and I didn't want to play it after like 30 minutes.
Yeah, that's fair.
It's not that it's a bad game. It's fine. It's just that the arcade style golf game has improved a lot since Mario Golf.
It has.
Like, I'd rather just play Golf Story, the free mode if I'm going to play something like this, or maybe what's it called? Not Top Shots.
Hot Shots.
Hot Shots. Yeah, or something like. Right?
Everybody's like, golf is really, really
everybody,
good.
Yep. Everybody's golf. Yeah, that's actually what I was thinking of. That's the
which
the
game I think that I actually. I think Everybody's Golf has been a thing in Japan for a long, long time, and we got that as Hot Shots Golf.
Oh, okay.
And then the PS4 version came out, and they were like, screw it, it's just Everybody's Golf. We're keeping the name consistent. Yeah, so I think our Hot Shots Golf was their Everybody's Golf. That is what that series is.
Oh, neat. I didn't know that.
But the one for PS4 is excellent because you actually have like an RPG progression system where you can improve your skills over time and
really
buy new equipment and stuff.
Oh, okay. So it's more aligned with the Game Boy Color Mario Golf, which was superior to the 64 one, even when I was little.
You start on easier courses and you do all these little side questy things and you can get new equipment and
RPG sports games, man.
I know. Like, just give me that feeling of progression. I want to start off only being able to drive the ball 195 yards and
like
finish the game hitting it for like 380 or some inhuman amount like that.
I want the anime distance, all right?
Yes.
Like, give me like... Just go completely nuts with it at the end, and then you're just OP Super Sonic.
Yeah, absolutely.
Or Super Saiyan. Sorry, I was just playing Sonic.
Yeah, it's fine. It's like they're different.
Yeah, no, they're different. I didn't realize this. Did you know in Sonic 3, Sonic could go Ultra Instinct?
There's a white version of
Sonic before Ultra Instinct. Dude, Dragon Ball stole from Sonic after Sonic stole from Dragon Ball. It's perfect circle.
I want to say it's unbelievable, but it's actually completely believable.
So, but, you know, not to derail the golf topic here.
It's all right. I fully recognize that we're not going to have that much to say about it. I mostly just want to talk about, like, the evolution of Mario Golf. Because going back and seeing where, like, it kind of originated from,
I think
is interesting.
No, I had a lot of fun going back to playing. Because, like, I booted up. I was really excited. And the music, I like it all felt good. And then I started to play. I was like, oh no, this is, you know, this is the funniest thing. Whenever I load up a 64 game today, for the most part, I'm reminded of how funny, like they basically look like the preset Unity. Here's how you make a menu screens.
Yes.
It makes me laugh every time now because I never thought about that as a kid or even 10 years ago when I played a 64 game, but now
I look at it,
all I see is the stock here's how you make a start game and continue screen. And that's just what all 64 games feel like to me now. Well, except for, I will say, the GoldenEye, man, Rare did something really magical with GoldenEye, regardless of how trashy it is to play today, because, you know, no one wants to play a game with the default 64 controller. But the look and feel of the game is still really awesome. And
oh,
Mario
yeah.
Golf, it does not have that from the menu sense, it doesn't have it. But yeah, so I was excited to play it, and I started to actually play it. I was like, oh no, I don't want to play this at all. Like, it's the conveniences of modern simulation golf are so nice that going backwards is really, really hard for me, especially because I'm not, like, you know, a huge golf fanatic anyways. Like,
sure.
It's just fun to play.
Even stuff as simple as, like, just being able to see the, like, did you find it when you were, like, putting on the green, it's actually really, really hard to read which direction it's breaking?
Yeah. Everything about the game is difficult to understand.
Yeah.
I'm not just saying that, like, it was not a very enjoyable experience to play after you've played. So, I mean, when I was done playing it, I seriously booted up Switch Sports and played golf on that.
Yeah. I need to go back to that. I feel...
It's awesome. Switch Sports Golf is an incredibly good time.
I believe it.
I've spent a lot of time.
It's weird that it was delayed for so long when it is, like, ostensibly the same game as the one that they had on the Wii U one. Wii Sports Resort.
There's no good reason for that. It has to just be, I don't know, I'm going to guess it has something to do with marketing and, like, trying to have the whole games as a service thing and all that kind of stuff to get people to come back to play. Because it's not super in depth or anything like that. So I don't have a clue. But it's fun. I've played, like, I don't know, 10 hours of Switch Sports Golf now, I want to say, over the last 2 months.
One thing I've been doing, this is off topic and I will get us back on topic shortly, but okay. You mentioned it when you were talking about how messed up and weird the menu looked.
Oh, yeah.
So I have been going back through, and one other thing I've been doing this week, now that I'm a Cusa Grande GM, I've been going through and testing out some games, some that I'm really familiar with, some that I just kind of know of by reputation, but I'm just kind of trying them out and seeing if they can work as a match. And I played a game called Bill Laimbeer's Combat Basketball.
Oh, yeah. I know of that game. I've never played it, but I know of it.
Yeah. That was one of the first games that I owned for the SNES. And it's terrible. But, you know, 10-year-old me didn't know that. And it's when you were talking about, like, oh, yeah, this looks like basic, like, generic default options for creating a menu. Yeah. I thought of this.
Yeah, it's just a grid screen with the text on it.
Yep. Literally, like, you hit start on the main screen and you see this. The options: single game, start league, continue league, game duration.
The important part of Bill Laimbeer's Combat Basketball is the fact that there are players with, like, chainsaws for their hands.
Yeah, that is not the case in the game, though.
No, I know.
At any point.
The art is cool.
Yep. Yep. Anyway, yeah. Yeah, Mario Golf, you know what really struck me? I actually played a good bit.
Yeah, you said you got into it.
Mario Golf has a thing that I really appreciate. It doesn't have the same, like, RPG style progression where you, like, your character gets better over time.
Mm-hmm.
But it does have the ability to unlock stronger and stronger characters by unlocking them via match play.
And I liked that. That was one of my favorite part as a kid, was unlocking, like, trying to unlock the characters and all that.
Yeah, same. And, like, you get that, you get one more and one more and one more, and then eventually you unlock Mario.
Yep.
And, like, once you unlock Mario, then the last unlock is Bowser.
I think Donkey Kong or something, isn't it, or am I wrong?
He's in it, yeah.
Okay, I couldn't remember who you got, like, the order of the characters.
Bowser is not the last character that you unlock, but when you unlock him, you get credits.
Okay.
So it's kind of like a pseudo ending.
I have a memory of playing with Metal Mario.
Yeah, I think that's correct.
I looked up the requirements to get Metal Mario, and I definitely didn't do it, so I don't know how I did it.
There might have been a code or something.
Yeah, because like to use Metal Mario, you have to get birdies on every single course and something else. I don't remember. It was something else. I was like, yeah, I definitely didn't do that. I do remember unlocking. I do remember getting the credits, so it must have been Bowser.
Could be, yeah.
If that's.
What I mean, I didn't even unlock credits. All the courses.
Oh, because no, this
that's
time I
also
didn't do
a thing that you gain XP from playing like tournaments and unlocks and stuff like that.
Yep.
And that goes towards unlocking more courses. And then you have to unlock characters through match play, which is really cool. And I like that. It's what I did most of my time with, except, boy, you remember the era where like you could get a game and there were like 16 characters in the game. But when you first booted up, there's four.
Yeah. And this it's one of like baby Mario. Come on, don't give me baby Mario.
No, like baby Mario isn't even the worst one. The worst ones are the like
the Camelot
self insert characters.
Yeah, true. That's true. That's a good point.
You remember classic
Plum?
Yeah, classic Nintendo character Sunny.
Yeah, or there is one that you unlocked. I think it was Maple, and it looked like the normal version of Princess Peach. It's like if Princess Peach was like a real person or something. Like she's a, I think they refer to it. Yeah, it's like Disney bounding, which is where you like dress up like the character, but not quite because you're not allowed to look like the characters. In
right,
Disney
right,
parks.
Right.
You know, because then kids might get confused. But whatever. So that's what Maple looks like, is someone trying to role play Princess Peach. I don't remember how you unlock her now. I have to look that up. But anyways, those characters are, you're right, they're far worse than baby Mario.
Because they're just people.
It's like the original Miis without being able to customize them.
That's absolutely what they look like. I think it was, let me see, is it Charlie? No, it's Harry.
Charlie is a. I brought up the manual. So Charlie's one of. I think Charlie and Plum are the two starting characters that are self inserts,
along with like Baby Mario and like
Peach.
Yeah,
and then you unlock Luigi because I unlocked Luigi, and then I was like, I'm good.
Yeah. And then before you get to like, I think you get Yoshi next. But then, like, there's Wario in there, and you work your way up to Mario. But before that, you got to get like Sunny and Harry and Maple and Harry looks like some dude at your office that has to go to sensitivity training every 3 months.
He looks like Fred Durst.
Right, what did I say?
Yeah, exactly. I do like his blurb in the manual. He's totally confident in his play. Harry's philosophy is, if I play my best game, I'll win.
That's the most Japanese thing. That's the most Japanese thing.
Okay, some of these descriptions are kind of weird. Wario's distinct wiggling play is backed by a smooth and powerful swing. Bowser can boast the most power on the course. Just looking at his massive girth is enough to blow you away.
Massive girth.
You're totally blown away.
Oh, goodness. I mean, here's the thing. Like, N64 Mario Golf is fine.
Yeah, it's totally fine. It's an absolutely fine experience.
Like, even going up to, like, Super Rush, the guts of what that game is based on are all here. Like, the shot power bar works out basically the same. Like, you've got the power shots and everything.
And even, there's lots of control over how you play. It's just the getting to it is less enjoyable than a more recent version of the same thing.
Yeah, absolutely.
So it would be a game that I would suggest nobody needs to play it unless they just want to see kind of, hey, here's Mario Golf. It has some really lovely smooth music. I've had the OST playing since we started in the background. And it's just real chill.
Yeah. Yeah, it's very nice. It has been more or less completely made irrelevant by its successors.
Yeah. And it's too bad. I still wish we had game, like, I mean, I know we can just load up an emulator, but it's too bad there's not an easy way to play the Game Boy games on the Switch yet or whatever, because I guess it's technically on Wii U, but I don't want to pay $8 for individual games that are too old for that. Anywho,
I Mario don't Golf disagree.
Game Boy Color is really fun. And I would like to know if it's actually fun today still, because my memory of it is it's being phenomenal. And I really want to know if I would have the same opinion of the 64 as 64, where it's like, oh, that was really cool then. I don't care anymore. Like, I'd rather play something else, because my memory of it is that it's super awesome. So I'm hoping one day that will be made available for quote unquote free through the Nintendo services. You know, one of the neatest things, though, was that you could link them together with a transfer pack.
Why?
So you could have the transfer pack plugged into the back of your 64 controller, and then you plug in Mario Golf Game Boy Color, and then you can unlock the Game Boy Color characters in Mario Golf 64. It's kind of neat. I love all that little functionality that, I mean, it's sort of stupid in many ways, because it's sort of gatekept by having the technology, but at the same time, it's fun. The Perfect Dark was the most notorious for having content that you could unlock through the Game Boy pack, although you could unlock all of that stuff naturally through the main game too. But yeah, it's cool.
Yeah. Sorry, I got a little distracted because I saw a blurb that was like, this is Jennifer Taylor's first game where she voiced Princess Peach.
Oh, really?
Which she continued to do up through Mario 3D All-Stars. It looks like she was the voice of Peach up until around the Wii.
Okay. Who did they switch her with?
Looks like Samantha Kelly.
I don't know why I asked. I'm not going to know the name, but...
I honestly didn't know either.
That's interesting.
Yeah. After 8 years, Jen Taylor ended her career with Nintendo in 2006. Make sure she was able to work more in the Seattle Children's Theater.
Oh, cool.
Oh, that's nice. Good for her.
Thanks, Internet.
She did the voice of Peach and also Toad. That's great, actually.
Who is the person that does the voice now the one that's been doing it since she left? I always like finding the voice actors. Like, you know, it's kind of funny. Like, Charles Martinet is in a movie called The Game, where he plays the Michael Douglas's father for like a scene. it's just one of those, I don't know.
Like, you just don't expect to see her.
That's Mario.
Or to see him, rather.
Yeah, right. Because he's Mario. And you wouldn't have even known it's him unless you know what he looks like, because he's not in a ton of movies or anything.
Yeah, it looks like Samantha Kelly has been the voice of Peach basically since 2006.
Oh, okay.
Up until now, because she's credited on Sparks of Hope, actually.
Oh, well, yeah.
Actually, she's uncredited, but did do the role.
Uncredited?
I'm going to go ahead and blame Ubisoft for it. I don't know.
I was going to say, I read something recently about how credits are handled. Oh, God, what game was it? I think it was for the translations for Persona 4. The teams were not individually credited. It was just like, oh, and it was done by this group. And everyone was kind of like, well, that's crappy. Why couldn't we have our name in the credits?
Yeah.
That's one of those mind-blowing sort of things not to do, because I guess the company likes it to be, you know, it's just them. They're the company and that's it. But like, we're talking about game credits. Like, it's going to scroll for another 5 seconds if you list 50 names.
Yeah, it's...
Who cares?
Video game credits have always been weird.
Yeah.
And, like, I don't entirely understand why. Previously, you'd get stuff in, like, the 80s and 90s where it was, like, Japanese games would be like, oh yeah, programmed by, you know, Tomo-chan. Right? And it's like, okay, so the story behind that is like a lot of game companies would not allow their individual workers to put their real names in the credits for fear that they'd be poached by other companies.
Oh, Jesus, what a... That's a whole mood right there.
I mean, considering how closely tied the video game industry has been to the Yakuza over the years, I don't think that's terribly surprising.
Yeah, but it just feels so wrong for those people.
But then you even, like, you go back to, like, the 70s and 80s in the U.S., and we had a similar thing where Atari wouldn't allow credits on their games. And so you have Adventure, where I forget what his actual name is, but, like, the guy puts his name on a credit in, like, a hidden room. And it made it past because none of the actual, like, testers at Atari found it.
Oh, I do know what you're talking about. Yeah. Oh God, what game was it?
Oh, Adventure.
I totally know what you're talking about, though. Yes.
The game's name is Adventure.
Oh, it is Adventure.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
I was like, I don't know if you're trying to think of something like sort of secondary to the topic, but like the game is called Adventure.
No, I got you on this. Yes. Well, you got me twice. You got me, and you also are supporting me.
Yes, correct.
But no, that's right.
Yeah, I forget what the person's actual name is, but I know that's like considered the first video game credit.
Mm.
Because Atari also just like, no, you are a, like, just make the stuff. You are a robot.
I mean, that's why Activision became Activision, is because they were like, this is crap. We're going to leave and make our own independent company where everyone's supported and gets equal pay and free and is accredited for all their work. And now Activision's just a wonderful company that does that all the time and never is in the news for anything bad.
Everything is always fine. It's like the old Dark Knight line, I feel like, applies more to like video game corporations than anything. The like, you either die a hero or live long enough to become the villain. Yeah. It's like you're seeing it happen with CD Projekt Red right now. Like, because they started out their entire... They started out as like a game pirating, cracking collective group.
Yeah.
Where they were fighting back against, like, really harsh digital rights management.
The tyranny of digital rights.
Yeah. Where it's we're going to make The Witcher, and we're going to not do any of that stuff on our games, and we're also going to open up GOG, where we only sell games that don't have those measures.
Mm-hmm.
So they, like... They absolutely started their entire existence as a company as the, you know, the consumer friendly, you know, anti like corporate company.
Yeah.
And now flash forward to the release of Cyberpunk, and it's like, yeah, we crunched all of our workers for 2 years and then released the game early, even though our QA begged us not to because the shareholders wanted more money.
It's exactly what our mission was all along.
And it's like, yeah, there wasn't even really that much pressure. We just wanted to boost profits for the quarter, so we just did it.
It's just out good now. To release it for the banks.
Yeah. So
yeah, you're right. Yeah, that's a good it does seem that way anyways.
It's a more modern example because like that's all happened in the last 15-20 years. Mm-hmm. Whereas like Activision's fall from grace has been like a 40-50 year thing. You know.
Yeah.
You're not like wrong. I think Activision launched in like the late 70s.
Yeah, it was after, I think they did it after the programmers that worked on a Pac-Man for Atari were not getting a fair share of what they should have been or something like that.
Yeah. Yeah, it was 1979.
Like, okay, yeah.
So they've been in existence for like just under 45 years.
Wow.
And started out as the company that was like, hey, we're going to be good to our workers. And now they just could not be less that. They are the actual standard bearers of the opposite of that.
Thanks, Activision.
Thanks, Activision. Hey, anyway, Mario Golf is all right. You can play it if you want. I knew we weren't going to have much to say about it. I was just like, I played it idly because I didn't know what else to do one day.
I mean,
day,
I'll be honest.
It was just there.
Like I said, it's one that I'm really glad we played because it's really one of my favorite things about playing old games is either realizing, oh, huh, this is not the game that I remember it because of X, Y, and Z, or, oh, wow, this is way better than I could have imagined. Like, there's so much more to it. And this kind of falls right in there. Yeah, it's fine. But it's not, my memory of it was that it's phenomenal.
Right.
Like, it will hold up today. And it, you know, really, it really doesn't compare
it
to
does.
Other.
It does. Like, it's still fine. It still plays fine. I would say with as screwed up as the Switch's N64 control scheme is.
Yeah.
This is probably one of the games least affected by it.
Yeah, you can play, like, Mario Party. You can play Mario Golf.
Yeah.
That's
like
fine.
They're not really like eye. The buttons required are not really
it doesn't matter where they are in the controller.
Yeah, they're not mapped in such a way that like you're going to be weirded out by having to use the right stick for the C buttons.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Cuz I don't think the C buttons are hardly used at all.
It's used to like kind of navigate the map.
Yeah, which like actually feels right on the stick anyway.
Yeah.
Like that feels appropriate. Yeah, it's still playable. It's just like if you have a more modern Mario Golf game or even a more modern like arcade style golf game at all, probably play those.
Yeah, that's how I feel.
Not because it's bad, just like it set a good blueprint, and like a lot of classic games, newer games have taken that blueprint and applied 20 years of, you know, design and technology improvements and made them naturally better. That's not N64 Mario Golf's fault. It did basically the best it could with what it had at the time, and so have newer games, but what it had at the time was better.
Yeah. Yeah, that sums it up.
So yeah, it's all right. It's fine.
Mario Golf.
Did you ever play the ring shot?
Not this time, no. But I mean, I played it on the 64 a bit.
I didn't play it either. I remember hating it.
That's my memory of it, but I don't like those. I didn't like it in Mario Tennis either.
Okay. I do have it since I don't think I'll ever push to actually like podcast Mario Tennis. So I'll talk about it a little bit because I played it a bit. Not as much as golf.
I liked tennis. I actually liked playing tennis more than golf on the 64.
Yeah, I think that's fair. It's still, I think tennis holds up a little bit better. But I remember there was a specifically, there was a specific code to unlock a special ring shot challenge through Blockbuster in Mario Tennis. And you had to like, I don't even remember how you did it, but you had to do it and then submit like a special code. And like the whoever got the high score was going to win some kind of prize.
Ooh.
I don't know if they ever followed through on it. I'm going to guess not, because I did it over and over and over in practice and got a high score of like 200 and something.
Yeah.
And then put in my high score and saw that the top score was like 9 million. And it was one of those things where it's like, all right, the top of the leaderboard is like, you know, yeah, 450, 455, 457, 458, 9 million. And it's like, oh, someone broke it. Someone, okay, I see. And that was one of the first times that I actually like bought into one of those, you know, play the game and win a thing contests, and just became completely disillusioned with the whole thing, because it's like, oh, people are just going to cheat.
I remember Nintendo Power had a get your best, you know, Pokemon Snap picture and you'll win an African safari.
What? And,
Yeah, for like four people. And Kyle and I, we had this.
That sounds like a terrible idea.
We had this awesome picture of Gengar, so we submitted, or not Gengar, it was coughing. It was like, I don't know. We were trying to find online if anyone had ever gotten a higher score than that, and it didn't seem like, we're like, oh my God, we could win. So we submitted everything, we sent it in, and then after we mailed it, we're like, what the hell did we just submit? Do you want to go to Africa on a safari?
No,
like,
no, I just want to win.
Like, we're both like, wait, no, we don't want to go to Africa on a safari particularly, because, you know, we're 15 or something like that.
Yeah, yeah.
So what a weird man. That's what I miss the most about Nintendo Power, is all the extra stuff. The extra coverage of the game is were of course fun at the time because the internet didn't exist, but I loved all of the bonus things, like the letters that people wrote in, and the extra, you know, side content stuff that was in Nintendo Power. I think that's what I miss about gaming magazines the most.
Yeah. Yeah, the reviews and stuff were always like, they were there, but I did actually like the features better. I used to, every week I got EGM, I would immediately skip right to the back. And this is probably indicative, actually. Like, this probably explains a lot. I never put this together before. But Sean Baby used to have a column.
Oh, yeah.
In the back of Electronic Gaming Monthly.
Yeah, he had
called the rest of the crap.
Yep, yeah, yeah, yep.
Where he would like deliberately review trash video games
and
just like make fun of them. And that was my favorite thing in the whole magazine every single month, because I thought it was the funniest thing.
Yeah, I loved his stuff. And then the, what was the comic? Hisuin Chan or something like that. I don't remember. There was like a, those are my two favorite parts of EGM, when they added Sean Baby's Corner. And he only got on there because of his website that blew up.
I didn't even know about that. I only knew about his column, and I just thought his column was great. But like, in retrospect, being more enamored with the crap stuff at the end of the at the end of the magazine rather than the actual like big fancy features probably should have told me something about myself then.
Yeah, because I liked it because it made me laugh, and I wanted to see what was crappy, and you wanted to go play them probably.
In some case, like, it mostly just made me laugh, but every once in a while, I would see something and I'd be like, I want to see it for myself.
Yeah, I never had that.
I want to see how bad it is for myself. Because that will also be funny. And now here I am, giving out trash live on Cusa Grande.
Yeah, when's your next, do you know when your next thing is?
There's matches going on today, but there's only a couple. I'm not signed up for them. Round four is almost over. There's like five matches left in the whole thing, and then we'll be on to brackets. So it may not be for a while. They ask GMs not to sign up in consecutive weeks just so that everyone gets a shot.
Sure.
So, and because there's not very many matches, I'm probably going to sit out for a few weeks. So the short answer is no, I don't know when my next one's going to be.
Okay.
But it'll probably be in, I would say, probably 2, 3, 4 weeks or something like that.
Sounds good.
I will announce on the podcast and in the Discord, which is linked in the description of this podcast, if you'd like to join and hang out and talk to us.
And one final thing before we go. If somebody wanted to write into the podcast, how should they do that?
They should write in questions, comments, and things that they want us to talk about to theretrobreakdown@gmail.com. We'll see you next week.